Thank you. It's good to be here again. We enjoyed our time. Last time we were here, we got to do the family camp. The bed's a little more comfortable than what we last night than what we had when we were in family camp. But family camp wasn't horrible, so I'm not going to complain about it. It was a good time. We enjoyed our time the last time, and it's always good to be here and see familiar faces. It's nice to see some unfamiliar faces. That's always a blessing, too. Get to meet some folks. We appreciate the hospitality. The Skeens are taking good care of us. They even fed us. What a blessing, you know. Give me food, I'll be all right. And we had a nice little basket from the church, fruit basket, and with other goodies in there, too. So we were very thankful for that. Thank you for thinking of us. Thank you for being kind to us. And hopefully we can be a blessing in some way this week. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. If you're looking for a title of the message, I give titles. It's called Men in Missions. That doesn't mean, ladies, I'm excluding you, but there's three men in the passage, so we're going to call it Men in Missions. All right? Men in Missions. And we're going to begin here in verse number 26. I'm going to read a few verses, and I hope you'll follow along with me as I read, and then we'll get into the message. Beginning in verse number 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So he was reading a portion there out of the book of Isaiah, which is Isaiah 53. We'll comment on that later here. And in verse number 34, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. It clears up a lot of things. And Lord, I just know as I grew up going to a lot of different churches as a youngster, I believed in you. I didn't know you, and I was confused. And I'm thankful, Lord, that your word cleared up a lot of that confusion. And Lord, by your grace, now I know who you are, and I know that you are the Savior. And I pray that you'd help us as we comment on this. There's something in here for everybody, whether they're saved or whether they're not. And I just pray you'd meet spiritual needs as only you can. Lord, please meet with us. I know this is the message that you want for this hour. And I pray that it would really encourage people. And give me the wisdom and strength, Lord, to speak it. Lord, I cannot speak to hearts, but I know, Holy Spirit, you can. And I ask that you would. And I ask that your will be accomplished. And Lord, that I wouldn't be a distraction in any way. We need your help. We pray again, you meet with us. We pray for your honor and glory. And then we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a missions conference. I don't have to tell you that, right? You look around, you see all these flags. We are in a missions conference. And ultimately, you say, well, what's a missions conference? Of course, you know. It's missionaries who take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost world. You see, I know that. You know, when we went to Zambia, Africa, you think, oh, it's a heathen nation. Well, when you got there, you'd actually start talking to people. They were more, the average Zambian is more religious than the average American. They had no shortage of religion over there. There are many different denominations. What the shortage was an understanding of who Jesus was, what he came to do, and how to have their sins forgiven. They had religion, they didn't have a relationship with God. And so it was a blessing to be able to take the word of God and show them that thus saith the Lord and explain to them who Jesus was, what he did for them, and almost see the light bulb come on sometimes that, it makes sense now. And people turning from what they had believed to turning to what the Bible teaches and accepting Christ as their Savior and seeing a changed life after that. There's nothing better than that. And if you're saved, then that happened to you too. Someone told you. And so missions is exciting. It's being able to go and take the word of God and help people. You know, I used to tell people, I'm a missionary. When I was a missionary, and they'd say, well, so what did you do? Did you like just, you know, start orphanages and start schools and feed people? We did help people along the way. It'd be kind of hard-hearted if you saw a need and didn't really try to help people. But our main goal was to introduce them to the Lord, who would be able to take care of them a whole lot better than we could. And that when we were gone, they'd still have the Lord. And it was a blessing to see. And still, we are still in communication with people. We can WhatsApp them. We can text them. We can call them. And every once in a while, we've been able to get back. Well, we did get back a few years ago. And Lord willing, we'll try to get back again this year and see some. But to see them still going on for the Lord. It's God who worked in them and changed them. And see how God blessed their lives. So I want to consider this idea of missions then in this context. That there's a bunch of people out there, some religious, some non-religious. There's an emptiness in their heart. They need the Lord and they need someone to tell them about the Lord. And so really I've just kind of given you all 3 points you didn't even know of the message. So let me give them to you. I'll give you the first one. We're going to see 3 men in missions. The first one's this, the seeking man. You see, the seeking man, I know not all people are seeking to know God. I know that. I understand that. There's some people who God is not in all of their thoughts. They don't want to know God. But there are still some people who are seeking the Lord. And it's because the Lord draws them to himself. And so we find this man. And by the way, you say, who is the seeking man? It's the Ethiopian. He was the seeking man. Now follow with me. You'll see he was a good man. We're going to talk about this, a couple of points about him. I was telling Brother Skeen, I said, I've only got 3 points this morning. I said, but don't be deceived by that. It's the sub-points that get to you, right? So, but I know what time I'm supposed to be finished. But you're going to see he was a good man, but he still was lacking something. He had a desire to know God, but that wasn't enough. He still had no relationship. And this shows us that sins are not forgiven by being good. We're going to see this. I want you to notice a couple of things about the seeking man. Number one, or first of all, underneath, I'm an outliner, okay? So if you like outlines, great. I'll try not to distract you with my outlines. But a couple of things about the seeking man. First of all, he was successful. He was successful. When you think about the Ethiopian man, the Ethiopian eunuch, sometimes you say, well, you know, he's from Africa. He probably lived in a mud hut in a thatched grass thatched roof. Get that picture out of your mind. Okay? He was a successful man. Pick up with me here again in we'll start in verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord speak unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority. That should tell us something. He wasn't just a farmer, which isn't bad to be a farmer. He was a man of great authority. It says, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So let's think about a couple of things about this man. Okay. He had position, right? He was of great authority. He was in charge of the king's treasure. That means he's probably pretty trustworthy, too. You don't give somebody some of your money to watch and not, you know, trust him a little bit. In fact, it wasn't that he gave, that she gave some of the money. It says, who had the charge of all her treasure. This man was in charge of all of her money. He was trustworthy. Had been someone honest. He is a man of position, and he had authority and power. And let me tell you, when you control the money, everybody's going to respect you. This guy was something, okay? Right, get this in your head. And earthly rank, though, shows us, I guess you know we're closer to God. People are always trying to get a little bit, improve their lives, improve their rank, whether it's in a religious organization, whether it's climbing the corporate ladder. It doesn't matter how high you climb, how much esteem you get from your fellow man. In God's eyes, you're still a sinner. We are hopeless. And here's this man, filled with the success. He's got the position, but God's not impressed with position. Not only did he have the position, but he had prosperity. Again, he had charge of all her treasure. That doesn't mean he was on the take. You would think that you'd give him enough money and a salary that he's not going to have to worry about trying to steal any of it, right? So he probably had some money. In fact, by the way, he came back with a portion of the scripture. Bibles weren't just common. Everyone just had a Bible back in the day. He was able to secure some parchments in Jerusalem when he was up there. You think those are free? No, they're not even free today, right? So they cost money. It wasn't something that the average person could even have. And he had it. And he was willing to spend money on it. So here he is. He's sacrificial. He's willing to spend money on it. He's willing to take his time. And but he's just a successful man. But that position of authority, that money, didn't do anything. The money didn't satisfy. His heart was still empty. He needed God. Perhaps your heart's empty. You need the Lord. Nothing can fill it. I don't care how much money you get. I don't care how big of a name you earn for yourself. You are still going to be empty. And in eternity, it's even going to be worse. We're missing something if we don't have Christ. And this is the idea of missions. We've got to remember, there are people out there who are seeking. And it's our job to find them. Whether it's going across the ocean or across the street. We need to look for people. And I understand, it's not always easy to witness to people, is it? Sometimes people don't even want to take a gospel tract. Sometimes you knock on their door, they don't even want to answer the door. And so we're not always going to be able to talk and give the gospel to everybody that we meet. We can try, but they're not all going to be receptive, but there's going to be some. And so we have to be on the lookout as Christians around here in America. And then remember that there's a whole bunch of people in the world that there are some who are open and receptive and probably ought to think about trying to get there and give the gospel to some of them too. That's where foreign missions comes into play. So the man was successful. Did it help him get closer to God? Nope. Well, let's see another thing about him. He was sincere. I notice this here in the end of verse number 27. It says that he had come to Jerusalem for what purpose? For to worship. He's a lost man. He doesn't know God. He wants to know God. He traveled all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And he wasn't on an airplane. I'm glad when I came out to Utah, which is where we are now, right? Yesterday, that I was able to get on the plane and get there. Get here. I'm still there somewhere up in the air, in my mind. I'm glad I didn't have to make that long drive. I was going to say I don't mind making a long drive. But when you're crunched on time, right? It's nice to be able to hop on a plane and get there. He didn't have that luxury. He wasn't even able to get in a car. He was in a chariot. And I don't know how comfortable that was. I could just think. I remember riding horses with Brother Lewis. You know the name of the horse? They have names of horses and they name their vehicles. They name every. You still name your vehicle? Don't name it. But they put me on Possum. He was a little rough on the trot there. But anyway. And that was just riding on possum. Never mind getting on a chariot that didn't have, you know, independent suspension, and shock absorbers, and all those other things. And so, yeah, even in Africa, we had pickup trucks. We had one that was comfortable, and then we had one that could handle all the dirt roads and the four-wheeling that we were going to go. You know, leaf springs in the front and the back, and it was... And that was a car. Can you imagine the chariot? And for so, so here he is. He's sincere. He went to Jerusalem just to worship. He had heard about the true God. Do you think he had religion in Ethiopia? Yes. So do you know what it was? I don't. I would imagine, because the world's still the world, that a man is still a man, to think that even in Ethiopia at that time, like today in our nation, that there were people who knew that there was something missing in the life and they needed to fill it, and they were trying to fill it with all sorts of things and they didn't know what to fill it with. I'm sure there were several different religions there. But which of them satisfied him? None. So where did he go? He heard about the true God. He heard about Jehovah God. So I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and I'm going to worship God. He makes this long journey. He goes to Jerusalem. He gets a copy of the scriptures. And that brings us to the next point. He was searching. He was searching. There are some people, I understand, there's some people go to church and they have no desire to learn. They're looking at the watch. They're looking, you know, I can't wait to get out of here. And I understand that. I don't think it's right, but I understand that. They're going to go do their duty and say, hey, I went to church, I'm spiritual, I can go live like I want to live and the rest of the week. And they're not happy, you know that. But there are other people who really are sincere. They come to church. They want to learn something. Here's a man, not saved, reading the Bible in his day, reading out of the book of Isaiah, went to Jerusalem to worship. He's praying. He's reading. He's sacrificing his time. He's sacrificing his money. And he still doesn't know God. Do you think God wants him to know God? Amen. I think he did. And I not only think so, I know so. So he's got this portion of scriptures. He's reading it. He doesn't understand it. So in verse 28, pick it up with me. It says, he was returning and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot, this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Did he? No. And he said, how can I? Except some man should guide me. I like the next couple words. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Do you know what? There's still some people out there who desire someone to teach them the Word of God. So how do you find them? Go look for them. You'll know soon enough who those people aren't. They'll let you know. But every once in a while, you'll find someone who is still desirous to know the Lord. And we can work with those folks. Amen? So praise God that he's still working in hearts. And there are some people who want someone to guide them. And if you're open to learning the way of to God, he'll show you. He'll send someone to guide you. So you see a man. He wanted to know God. He's reading his Bible. He's praying. He's worshiping. He's sacrificing. He's doing all he can to know God, and he still doesn't know God. What was he missing? He wasn't saved. What was he missing? Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. That's at the end. That's the last point. So in between, we have to give point number two. So we see the first man. That is the seeking man. And who was that? Ethiopian. Now the next person, we see the serving man. And who is this one? It's Philip. See, I like this. God saw the sincerity of the Ethiopian man and he said, I want to help that man. And he had someone who already knew him and said, I'm going to use this man, Philip, to go talk to this man, the Ethiopian, who would like to know me. This one knows me, so I want him to go and talk to him and tell him what he knows about me. That's missions, isn't it? That's us as people who are Christians, people who have known the Lord, people who have repented of our sins and received Christ as our Savior. We've got forgiveness. We know the way to God. Our job to take that way to other people. It's exciting, man. This is the serving man. This should be all of us. And every one of us needed someone to show us the way to God. I don't know who it was in your case. Maybe you can remember who it was. Someone showed, a Sunday school teacher, a parent. You know, Brother Daniel Fleming?
Yes, sir.
Brother Fleming, that's right. So he was telling us this morning that it was his dad got to share the gospel with him. Praise the Lord for that. Everyone can go back to somebody. Maybe you came to church here and you sat in under the gospel preaching. You heard it and you heard it and heard it and said, well, this makes sense. I need the Lord and I need... And then you receive Christ. Someone showed you from the Bible how to receive it. Maybe you picked up a gospel tract and read it. Maybe you heard it over the radio waves. However, someone told you the gospel. There was a serving person involved somehow. And we need to consider some characteristics about the serving man and also for the serving woman. Let us look at a couple of things here. First one is this. First characteristic of the serving man is this. He's sensitive. He's sensitive. You know, I'm sensitive, but it's usually about things that concern me. And that's not how we're supposed to be, is it? I want you to go back with me to verse number 26. I want you to see how Philip responded to God's leading, and I think it can help us. In verse number 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Verse 27. And he arose and went. Get that from verse 26. Arise and go. Verse 27. He arose and went. You say, that's simple. Yeah. That's how it works. God says, hey, go do this. You go talk to that person. And we say, okay, I'll go and go talk to that person. Pretty simple. Nothing, you know, no rocket scientists here. Then verse 29. Look with me there. So he gets out, he's going down to the desert, he's seeing this guy riding on the chariot. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Verse 30, "And Philip ran thither to him." Again, go near and join thyself. Philip ran thither. See how it works? He's sensitive to the leading of the Lord. Does the Lord ever put on your heart? It's not a word, but like, why don't you give this guy a gospel tract? Or why don't you go and talk to someone?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to get this, you know, word, just hear his voice in your ears. But you're sensitive to the needs of others. And Lord will guide us. God will speak to us sometimes through the Word of God and challenge us to do a little bit more for Him. It might be God wants someone to be a missionary and He'll touch their heart and He'll... Typically He speaks to us through what? The Bible. He's not going to talk to us and tell us something that's contrary to this book. I mean, God called me to preach using the Bible, the Word of God. I remember the sermon that I heard and God's Word and this ringing in my heart and He gripped my heart. We need to be sensitive to the Lord in His leading. People need God and He wants to use us to help them. Let me speak to the children for just a moment. We have some children in here. Believe it or not, children, I was one once too. One of the reasons you need to obey your parents is that you will learn how to obey God.
Yes.
If you're in a habit of not obeying your parents, you will be in a habit of not obeying God.
Right.
If you're in a habit of not listening when your parents speak to you, you're not going to listen when God speaks to you or when He wants to speak to you. It's very important that you listen. It's very important that you obey. The Lord said, arise and go, and He arose and went. And again, parents, let me explain this. The reason why we need to teach our children to obey and discipline them when they don't obey is to get them to follow not just our commands, but teach them and train them that there is a higher authority, and that is God, and they need to listen and follow Him. I want my children that when God says arise and go, that they'll get up and go. We should all obey the Lord and proclaim the gospel of love. So he was sensitive. I like that about him. Secondly, I see he was sacrificial. So I didn't see him spending any money. Let's go back to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is what? Desert. Now wait a minute. Desert? I don't know about you. There's a lot of places I'd like to visit. And I don't mind if I saw the desert, but I don't know how much time I'd want to spend in the desert. You know, tropical paradise would be pretty good. I like mountains. I've seen mountains. That's a pretty good place to go. But desert? There's no gas station where I can stop and get a water. Again, how's he going to travel there? It's not an air-conditioned vehicle. He's going out in the desert. Yeah, you know, can I just tell you something? Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable to serve the Lord. And it's not always convenient to serve God. And if we're going to be the serving man, we've got to be willing to do what God wants us to do. Set aside our comfort for Him. When we were in Africa, in Zambia, there was no Walmart. That does it right there for some ladies. I can't go to Africa. Kids, there was no McDonald's. Not in Zambia. We had a place called Hungry Lion. And it was, yeah. Anyway. And then sometimes as missionary, you're building things, you're fixing things, whatever it is, and, you know, replacing a sink, and you're going to get some flex pipe, and you, sorry ladies, maybe you are the ones that do the repairing too, but you get a flex pipe, and you put it on there, and it leaks all over the place. So you don't go and buy one. When you go, you buy four or five so you don't have to drive all the way back to town and find a place that has them and bring them back. So you put one in, it doesn't work. You put the other one, it doesn't work. You put the other one, it doesn't work. And put the other one, it's like, where's Menards? Where's Home Depot? Where's something? And you go and you're trying to build something, and the lumber, it goes like this. But when it goes like this, it twists also. It's like, I can't build anything straight. There's not a straight stick of lumber in the country. It's not convenient. It's not convenient. I remember when we come back from on the floor furlough, you walk down the potato chip aisle. It's like, sometimes it's like on both sides. It's like, there's too many decisions. There's a lot of inconveniences. I wouldn't trade the mission field for anything. I miss it. We miss it. But we had snakes. Last place we lived, we killed 82 of them in our yard. So why'd you kill them? So they didn't kill us. They were poisonous ones. Diseases. You know, we've battled dysentery and malaria, all sorts of things. Separation from family, that's a hard one. Pray for your missionaries. They're separated from family. My kids didn't get to know grandma and grandpa very well. By the time we came back and came off the field, my mom within 2 years had dementia. My wife's mom within 2 years had dementia. And my mom passed away just shy of 2 years ago. You know, we miss a lot of time with family. I wish we'd had that make up, but we'll have some time in eternity. It takes some sacrifice. See, well, I don't want to make that sacrifice. Well, then, you're not going to be a serving person. No, I'm not talking just about making a sacrifice to go overseas. If God wants you to go overseas, you go overseas. But it might cost some time on an evening to go out and knock on some doors or to go evangelize your neighborhood. It might cost a Saturday morning. It might take some time on Sunday where you will have a little bit of sleep to go run and work on that bus route. Whatever it is, we need as Christians to be sacrificial. That's the serving man. The serving man is sensitive. He listens to the Lord. He's sacrificial. Next we see he's swift. He's swift to obey the Lord. In verse number 30 again, after the Lord spoke to him, the Bible says, and Philip ran thither to him. I like that. He didn't drag his feet. God said, go join yourself with that chariot. Now, if it was one of us, you know what we'd say? Well, that chariot's moving. And if I just kind of wait just a little bit, it'll be gone. And, well, Lord, I would have if he had slowed down. And if he had delayed, would he have been able to reach that guy? No. I think sometimes we do that. We just delay a little bit so that the opportunity passes and then, oh, like you're going to convince God that you would have. No, but you didn't. You would not have. It's actually the way it was. We need to be swift to follow the Lord when he directs us to an area of service. And again, sometimes we just drag our feet. If he wants you to witness to the lost, maybe he wants you to write a letter. Write a letter. Don't put it off. Maybe he wants you to make a phone call. Make a phone call. Make a visit. Make the visit. Don't put it off. You'll never know how much time you have to deal with somebody.
Yeah.
I remember there was a man I God put it on my heart to go witness to him. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And I was going to go do it. I had already given him a track. Well, I got that phone call and said, hey. And they said his name. It had passed away. It hit me. Now, had he heard it, had a chance to hear the gospel? He had. Would he have gotten saved if I had gone? I don't know. But I still think about that. I delayed. I'm thankful I haven't always delayed. I'm thankful that sometimes God, I listened to the Lord and he's helped me through things. Amen. If he wants you to serve, do so. If he wants you to go to the mission field, don't fight him. You hear about people saying, oh, I fought God. Don't fight God. Listen to God. The longer you delay to go witness to someone, the longer you delay it to go to a mission field, people are going to die. Let me tell you a story. Within the first several months of us being on the mission field, a 13-year-old boy named Loy got saved. My wife was able to lead him to the Lord. That's another story all in itself. As he came up to her, Ibibele, which means Bible. You probably got that right. Well, we came into town on a Thursday to make some visits, and we heard that Loy was sick and that he was in the hospital. And he had a really bad headache. Well, what we didn't know at the time was that he had cerebral malaria. And then within a couple of days, he was dead. All of this had taken place with him getting saved and passing away within our first year on the mission field. Let me backtrack this. When we were on deputation, by the grace of God, we were on full-time deputation for about 16 months, had our support, and we were on the field within 16 months. Now think with me. If we had been on deputation for the average missionary for 2-3 years, what would have happened before we got there to Loy? And let me just tell you, people are going to die. They're not waiting for you to get the gospel to them. They're going to die. And if you don't get the gospel to them, they're not going to be saved. And we need to be serious about this. We need to be swift in obeying the Lord when he leads us to witness to someone, when he leads us to write a letter. My mom's brother was not saved. My uncle. She had witnessed to him. My dad had witnessed to him. Hadn't got saved. He couldn't make it to my mom's funeral, but she had written a letter some years back about to family members about the gospel. We found it, so we put it in the program for her her funeral. So we sent that off to my uncle. So he got the funeral program with a letter from my mom that she'd written before she had passed away to unsaved folks. He got the gospel. God put it on my heart to write a letter to him. And I wrote a letter to him last October and gave him some tracts. And it's nice when you write the tracts that you can say, hey, I wrote this. Could you please read it? You know, and his family is like, okay. So then Christmas came along and sent him a card and sent him the new Easter tract, a Christmas tract I had written, and sent that off to him. My dad, in early part of January, or sometime in January this year, I was talking to him on the phone. Of course, the nation's a mess. My dad's, he's pretty outgoing. He said, you know, all this problem in the world. He said, I think the Lord's coming back soon. Don't you think you'd want to be ready? Don't you think you'd want to ask him to save you? He said, well, I did that. My dad said, you did? When? Well, he said, you and Dave keep talking to me about this. And so he, on his own, prayed and received Christ as his Savior. My dad says, so why? He said, I finally saw my need. So can I tell you, God's been putting you on your heart to write that letter. Write that letter. Mm-hmm. Let's be swift and obey the Lord. Here we have the Ethiopian man. I mean, he's the seeking man. He needs salvation. He needs someone to bring it. That's where the saving man, the serving man comes in. Serving man is you and I. We come, we should be sensitive to the Lord. We should be sacrificial, willing to go and give us some convenience and time. Be swift in obeying the Lord. Also, we can see out of verse 30 that I think he was studious. So I didn't know that. Well, verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Did the Ethiopian understand? No. Did Philip understand? Yes. You see, Philip understood. He knew the passage of Scripture. He knew what it meant. And he was able to explain it to the Ethiopian man. And let me tell you, Philip was not a pastor. Now, eventually he became a deacon, but he was a layman, if you want to say, in a sense. He was just a good Christian person who studied the Bible, learned the Bible well enough to help other people with it. And that's what we ought to be. People who are of the book, right? Your Berean Baptist Church. What did the Bereans do? Man, they were more noble because they went back and they studied those scriptures. Make sure you're studious. But it was not only that, he was systematic. We find it in verse 36. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, we're not told when Philip heard about baptism. We don't know if he had heard something about that in Jerusalem when I was up there. We don't know if this is something that Philip explained to him after he explained the way of salvation to him. We don't know that. We do know that he understood that baptism was something and it had a meaning. And he saw some water and said, hey, what would hinder me? What would stop me? What would prevent me from getting baptized? Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, there is so much in that statement. It's unbelievable. Maybe we can open that up in the next point just a little bit. But he said, if you believe, you may get baptized. Yeah. Believe, if you depend, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we'll baptize you. Why? Because baptism doesn't wash sins away. Never did, never will. It's a picture, just like this ring is a picture. This ring doesn't make me married. I wear it because I'm not ashamed of my wife. I love my wife. I want everybody to know. Hey, and all the other women in the world. Hey, not available, right? I'm married. But it's just a symbol of my marriage.
It's like baptism.
When I received Christ as my Savior, I became saved. I'm saved no matter whether I'm baptized or not. But when I got baptized, that symbolizes baptism, it lets everyone know that I'm saved. It's just a picture. Here's the water. Here's me. Right? When I went under the water, it's a picture of the death of Christ. Under the water is a picture of the burial of Christ. When I came out of the water, it's a picture of the resurrection of Christ. What's it saying? I put my faith in what Jesus did, the gospel, his death, his burial, and his resurrection for my salvation. Not for myself. Not my works. The baptism didn't save me. Never could, never will. Never will save anybody. So he was systematic. We don't want people to trust their works or their baptism for forgiveness. It's only faith in Jesus Christ alone. So I like the fact that Philip was systematic. He showed people what the scripture said. And not only that, the last thing about the serving man is that he was steadfast. Drop down with me in verses 39 and 40. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, what did he do? He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He was steadfast. You know what he did? He kept telling people about Jesus. Amen. Did he find a convert? Yeah, he found the Ethiopian man. Was he satisfied with that? Nope. Still had more work to do. Never feel satisfied because you've helped one person. Let's keep finding some more people. Now, this brings us to our last point. That means we're almost done. There's a seeking man. He did all sorts of things to do the best he could to find God. And he didn't know God still. God said, I see that. He said, Philip, go talk to him. Philip says, yes, Lord. Philip goes. He finds him. God says, go catch up to that chariot. He runs. And the guy says, hey, come on up. I want you to explain this to me. They read that passage of Scripture. And he says, who's this prophet talking about? And I want you to pick up with me here in verse number 35. And as they went on their way, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him who? Unto Jesus. Let me tell you, salvation is not in a prayer. It's not in a program. It's not in a religion. It's in a person, and that person is Jesus. But the Ethiopian man, he had all those things going for him. He was worshiping, he's praying, he's sacrificing, he's reading the Bible, all of those things, but he still didn't have the Lord. What was he missing? He was missing Jesus. And that's the first thing and the most important thing that he found out. He says, he preached unto him Jesus. That passage that we read earlier, the place that they were reading, is found in Isaiah 53. So if you would, you could turn with me to Isaiah 53. Very important. That entire chapter of Isaiah 53 describes Jesus as the Messiah. The Jews knew that a Messiah was coming. And by the way, let me just tie this in with you for you right now. The word Messiah is a title. The word Christ is the New Testament equivalent. It's also a title. Messiah, Christ, they both mean anointed. They are the exact same title. You can compare the scriptures. I can go through it and show you. But that, when you talk about the Messiah and you talk about Christ, anytime you say that Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Messiah. So he preached unto him Jesus. Now let me stop and pause for a moment. Which Jesus? So what do you mean, which Jesus? Yeah, which Jesus? Because there's a whole lot of religions out there who have a whole lot of different ideas of who Jesus is. Yeah. Is that not true? To the Muslim, Jesus is what? a prophet. To the Hindu, Jesus might be even a god, but just one of thousands of gods. To others, he might be, you know, just a son. To some, he's an angel. It's like, well, wait a minute. Where did all this confusion come from? What does the Bible say? God is not the author of confusion. So he put it in the Bible who Jesus is.
Right.
He put it in the Old Testament. He said, hey, this is the Messiah. And so when Messiah comes and you see all this about Messiah, you will know it's Messiah.
Amen.
So what was the Messiah? Who was the Messiah? Of course, we understand it's Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. But what does all that mean of Messiah? You're in Isaiah 53. All right. Go back with me real quickly to Isaiah 7. And we're going to get back to 53. But just hold on. We're getting there. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That word Emmanuel is interpreted as God with us. You can read that also in the book of Matthew. Messiah. Who is Messiah? God. Jehovah God with us. Oh, this is the Jesus that he's preached unto him. So when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what was he saying? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah who is the Son of God. He understood who he was. And he was able to be saved because of it. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says so many different things, but look with me in verse 6. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Messiah, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So, we're all sinners. We've all gone our own way. And that's the one thing. So many religions, they can talk about religion. They can talk about God. They can talk about Allah. They can talk about so many things. But they don't know how to have forgiveness and cleansing of sin and peace in their heart. The Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He took all my sins, all of your sins, and put them right on Jesus. I like that. I have no righteousness. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. So what did God do? He became a man, known as the Son of God, Jesus, Messiah, came down from heaven, eternal God, took on human flesh, came on and took my sin and your sin on himself. And what happened? God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now get that. I've got sin. Jesus has no sin. So what did he do? He took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. I wasn't righteous, but now I am because I have Christ, so I can go to heaven. He that hath the Son, that's Jesus, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When I received Christ as my Savior, I had eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And I still have it. And that Ethiopian, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he said, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. If you want to have forgiveness of sins, there's only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Me, he was saying, me, the Messiah. Me, Jehovah God, coming down to save mankind. That's the saving man. No religion, no denomination, no good work, no amount of service, no religious ceremony can save your soul. It's only Jesus.
Yes.
In the Tonga language, we'd say, Jesu Buyo. Only Jesus. Jesu Buyo. It's only Jesus. And I'm so glad I found Jesus. He changed my life. And if you've not found him yet, and you're the seeking man, you can find him today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Are you like the seeking man? Perhaps all those efforts to worship and understand the Bible have still not brought you that forgiveness and that peace in your heart. But like the Ethiopian man, God's probably used someone in your life to show you the way.
You need the saving man, and that's Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh. He died in your place. The just for the unjust. And he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He's alive today. He's looking down. He'd like to save you. With our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, would you like to have that relationship, a real relationship with God? Would you like to know more about receiving Jesus as your Savior today? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please, no one looking around. If you would like to receive Christ as your Savior today or know more about it, I'd like to pray for you. My prayer can't save you, but we'd sure like to take the Bible and show you how. Just like Philip did for the Ethiopian man, we could do for you today. Would you like me to pray for you? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to have Jesus save my soul. I'm missing something, and I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Is there anyone like that? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Would you let me pray for you? God's working in your heart. Maybe you are saved. Are you like the seeking man? We've got to go and seek others. God will direct us. We must be swift to obey. Perhaps God's been speaking to someone's heart about being a missionary to some other country. Don't drag your feet. Are you willing to give up a little inconvenience, a little discomfort to reach the lost? Think what Christ did for you. Perhaps God's been working in your heart. I hope you'll respond to Him today. Father, I pray that you bless what was heard. Lord, thank you, folks who've been kind to listen. Lord, I believe you've worked in hearts. Maybe there's some here that are like the seeking man. They need you, Jesus. And I pray that before they leave or soon they talk to someone about receiving Christ as our Savior. Lord, when we sing this invitation or have this invitation song played, they could slip out of their seat and they could come down and we can get the Bible and show them privately in another room how to be saved. But there's other, your people who maybe been dragging their feet a little, maybe a little bit cold towards getting the gospel out, maybe a little intimidated. Lord, help us just to do what we're supposed to do and trust the results in your hands. I pray you'd work in this invitation time. We ask in Christ's name.